We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Away we go, episode 801 of the Al Galdi podcast. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. Hopefully, your retinas are still intact off the total solar eclipse of Monday. We in the Washington, D.C. area did not get a total solar eclipse, but we did get an eclipse. I actually borrowed my six-year-old son's sunglasses after he got home from kindergarten, so I saw the eclipse. It was impressive, and hopefully my retinas are okay. They were good enough to see a national champion in men's college basketball get crowned late night on Monday night. One-seeded UConn ripped one-seeded Purdue 75-60 at State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, to win the national title for a second consecutive season. What a last two seasons for head coach Dan Hurley and his UConn Huskies. Only two teams have won six games in an NCAA tournament, each by at least 13 points. Those two teams, the 2022-2023 UConn Huskies and the 2023-2024 UConn Huskies. Not bad. Hello and welcome to this Tuesday installment of the Al Galdi podcast. Hopefully someday soon we're talking about one of our teams winning a championship. Until then, we keep trying. We keep fighting the good fight. And a big part of that fight for the Commanders is them nailing what they do with their number two overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. Did you see or hear what Colin Cowherd said on Monday afternoon? Colin Cowherd on his show, The Herd, with Colin Cowherd on FS1 and Fox Sports Radio, said that he's hearing that the Commanders, as of Monday, would take LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, not North Carolina quarterback Drake May, not Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, with that number two overall pick. Here you go.
All right, I've been told the Washington Commanders, right now, as of today, would choose Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, as their top pick. And going back and forth, I'm told they believe he's more consistent than Drake May. He is quicker, more mobile than Drake May. An offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, who will have some say in this, has had multiple quarterbacks in his college and pro coaching career that play like him. Quarterbacks like Jaden Daniels, are important. They're very hypermobile, right? And that matters a lot. Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, as you're trying to figure out the sophisticated NFL pocket and all it asks, it gives you a couple of years to pick up first downs and move the sticks with your feet. Even Patrick Mahomes acknowledged the light didn't truly go on until year three. But the ability to move, Washington's got a bad offensive line, pick up first downs with those feet as you're learning the game is important. He is not perfectly sized. He's a bit spindly for me, 6'3", 6'3 and a half, and 210. And it is a bit of a concern, but in the NFL, you can't be paralyzed by perfect. I remember listening to draft experts tell me that Justin Herbert was just too mechanical. Yes, he is mechanical. That is his one flaw. He's a bit mechanical. He could be more creative. He's also 6'5 and a half, 230 with a huge arm and can move. Draft him. You know, when you get relationships, could be a girlfriend, boyfriend, marriage, company, there's no perfect. Stop seeking it. Stop nitpicking. Jaden Daniels is really good at Arizona State. He's better at LSU. He gets better every year. You need a quarterback. If you look at the top quarterback prospects coming out of college, they had red flags. I mean, Josh Allen was inaccurate. Patrick Mahomes was wild. He was one of those Big 12 air raid quarterbacks, and none before him had worked. Justin Herbert was mechanical. Some were asking about Lamar Jackson. Is he an NFL quarterback? And these are the top guys.
All right. Very interesting from Colin Cowherd. He made some good points. Cowherd is not an NFL insider, but he is a prominent national sports talk host. His show has one of the biggest audiences in the business, and he does get stuff. He has had intel previously, so I do not dismiss what he says. Next segment, a guest who is very plugged into the Commanders, Commanders insider Michael Phillips, who now is hosting a sports talk radio show on 910 The Fan in Richmond, Virginia. Michael always has good insight and opinions on the team, and so we're going to cover a lot of ground, including, yes, the Commanders quarterback decision. Michael believes that managing partner Josh Harris is involved in the decision more than people realize, but not necessarily in a bad way. Michael will explain. Also, he'll tell us the one thing about this Commanders offseason that he believes the team would want back, and it is a rather big thing. And Michael is going to break down the Commander Stadium situation. He understands the machinations of that as well as anyone I know. Some key points about Washington, D.C. and Virginia that you're going to want to hear. Michael Phillips on the Commanders next segment. By the way, some Commanders news on Monday. First of all, another free agent defection. Unrestricted free agent edge defender James Smith-Williams has agreed on a one-year contract with the Atlanta Falcons. That news broke on Monday evening. And so it now is official. Every member of Washington's 2020 draft class is gone. That is something. 2020 wasn't that long ago, and yet every member of Washington's 2020 draft class now is gone. Also, the Commanders on Monday morning announced the hirings of Ryan Juarez as Director of Rehabilitation and Jamal Randall Sr. as Senior Physical Therapist / Assistant Athletic Trainer. As you may recall, it was on February 28th that we had the NFL Players Association coming out with the NFLPA's second batch of NFL player team report cards for player care and player treatment. The Commanders, for a second consecutive year, ranked number 32 out of 32 NFL teams in overall report card. The grades included the following: training staff, F. So hopefully these new hirings help in that regard. Also on the show, the Nationals. They late night on Monday night began a three-game series at the San Francisco Giants, and the Nats began that series with a very nice 8-1 win. A lot to like from the Nats in this game. I'll talk about it later in the show. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi Podcast at yahoo.com. Feedback on Monday's show being episode 800 of this podcast from the incomparable CJ on X writes, the incomparable CJ, congratulations on 800 episodes. I appreciate your dedication and work ethic. Also, in light of this amazing WrestleMania, I hope Adam Peters is the Commander's version of Triple H. Take over for a scandal-laden organization and lead it in an awesome direction. Thank you for that, CJ. Great analogy. And you know what's funny is that there are a lot of parallels between the Commander's former owner, Dan Snyder, and WWE's former owner, Vince McMahon. Each guy is a billionaire, although Dan is richer than Vince is. Each guy got ousted as owner, at least in part, via a sexual misconduct scandal of some kind. Each guy is known to be a bully. Each guy is known to fly off the handle and be irrational and too often not engage in long-term thinking. The big difference is that Vince is much more comfortable being in public than Dan is, but the entity that each guy used to own is much better off without him. A lot of parallels between Dan Snyder and Vince McMahon. Email from Michael King writes, Mike, congrats on 800L. Thank you for that, Mike. Email from Larry Center in Rockville, Maryland, writes Larry, Al, I hope that Monday's solar phenomenon did not eclipse the magnitude of your 800 episode achievement. You lead a fantastic podcast. Each episode is a home run for us DC sports fans. In other words, you, Al, have hit 800 home runs. Monday was the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715th home run. However, since you have now had 800 home runs, you have eclipsed Hammerin' Henry by 85. Congratulations, Al, and keep up the great work. Thank you very much for that, Larry. Terrific point on Monday being April 8th, the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715th career major league regular season home run, breaking the then record of Babe Ruth at 714. The footage of 715 by Hank Aaron really is something because it includes two fans running onto the field and running with Aaron for a portion of his home run trot. That is something that would never happen today, right? But back in the 1970s and 1980s, fans running onto the field during and after MLB games happened a lot. It's crazy how common that was back in the day. And with Aaron, the situation is made even crazier by the fact that he was getting hate mail and death threats during the home run chase. And so here he is having just broken the record, and these two white guys come running right at him. He probably didn't know what to think. But Hank Aaron, total class act, a real testament to consistency. He never hit more than 47 homers in a regular season, but he hit at least 30 homers in a regular season 15 times. He is MLB's all-time leader in career regular season total bases and career regular season RBI. His career regular season OPS plus is 155, which is spectacular. So yes, episode 800 of this podcast happened on the day of the national title game in the NCAA tournament for men's basketball, happened on the day of the total solar eclipse, and happened on the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's historic 715th career Major League regular season home run. Here was the call of the home run. The great Milo Hamilton on the Atlanta Braves radio network on April 8th, 1974.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate. And listen to this crowd. The sellout crowd is cheering Henry Aaron, the home run king of all time. 7-15.
Yes, sir. 7-15. Email from Stanley Evans on the Commanders potentially taking Jaden Daniels with their number 2 overall pick in the 2014 draft. Right, Stanley? What's happening, Goldie? From the things that I've been hearing, it sounds like Jaden would be ready to play right away, whereas Drake May might need a little growth and development. The point is, Dan Quinn at his introductory press conference said that we are recalibrating, not rebuilding. If Jaden seems more ready to play now, do the Commanders lean in that direction? Plus, you have these aging players on one-year deals. Just wondering your thoughts on that. Thank you for the email, Stanley. Good question. It has been said that Jaden Daniels will allow for more immediate success then Drake May will. That may be true. Personally, I don't see that as some obvious, definite truth. A reason that people say that Daniels will allow for more immediate success than May will is Daniels' exceptional mobility. Well, A, May also is mobile. He's not as mobile as Daniels is, but May is plenty mobile. And B, Daniel's exceptional mobility could lead to him scrambling too much. This is something that we talked about with our guest on Monday's show, ESPN college football analyst Bill Conley. Now, I get that Drake may need some work, but Jaden Daniels needs some work too. So I am not just swallowing this notion, espoused by former Redskins head coach Jay Gruden and others, that Daniels will allow for more immediate success than May will. Again, that might be the case, but I don't see that as definitely being the case. But whatever the case, the Commander's quarterback decision via this number two overall pick should be about who will be the best quarterback in, say, 2026, not 2024. Immediate success would be great, but I'm a lot more interested in long-term success. But all three of the perceived most likely quarterbacks to be taken by the Commanders, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Michigan's J.J. McCarthy, appear to need work. Appear to need, yes, growth and development.
Growth and development?
Yes, growth and development. As former Washington head coach Ron Rivera this past season said over and over and over and over and over again, growth and development. You can't have one without the other. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Growth and development.
Growth and development?
Exactly. Well, we know that the Commanders need to hit on their quarterback decision in the 2024 draft. And if you want a big event that you are planning to be a hit, get with Catering by Uptown. It is the best catering service in the DMV. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. If you are planning a wedding, a party, a corporate event, whatever, you want great service, but you also want a great price. Well, Catering by Uptown provides both. Catering by Uptown is a family business, and it specializes in handling everything so that you don't have to. Catering by Uptown understands that special events deserve to be celebrated in style. Catering by Uptown takes care of every detail so that you can enjoy your event. From putting together and executing a menu, to picking linens, to selecting an excellent florist, Catering by Uptown is committed to meeting your needs and exceeding your expectations. Great service, amazing cuisine, and reliability are the foundation of what makes Catering by Uptown one of the most referred caterers throughout Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia. Visit cateringbyuptown.com and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you. That's cateringbyuptown.com, and make sure that you mention that Al Galdi sent you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Hey, please consider following the podcast if you're not already doing that. Following the podcast is free. If you have an iPhone, you can follow the podcast simply by tapping the plus sign in the upper right corner on the page listing the recent episodes of the podcast. And I am very pleased to welcome back to the podcast a man who has joined the dark side, Commanders insider Michael Phillips. He covered the team for Richmond.com for years. He now works as a freelance writer, but he also now hosts a sports talk radio show, MP on the Mic, weekdays from 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond, Virginia. Yes, Michael has joined the immoral, seedy world of sports talk. You can follow Michael on X at Michael P in RVA. Hey, Michael, how are you?
You always listen to sports talk and you're like, man, they take too many calls. Why are they taking so many calls? And then you host sports talk, you're like, please call, share for however long you want. Lines are open.
Hey, phone calls are a great time filler. There's no doubt about that.
We're lucky. We got the draft. I feel like I came in with the start of this football season. Obviously, we do VCU basketball real big down here. Now I got the draft. I'm going to wake up on April 29th and be like, I don't know what's next.
Yeah, and we no longer can count on the football team having some controversy that'll carry us through the summer. Well, I wanted to have you on to get your takes on a bunch of stuff with the Commanders, who, as you may have heard, have the number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NFL Draft. I, on this podcast, like you on your show, have been talking a ton about the quarterback decision, North Carolina quarterback Drake May versus LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels versus Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, and there may be others involved in the mix, like, say, Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Two-part question. What do you think the Commanders should do with their number 2 overall pick? What do you think they will do with their number 2 overall pick?
I think they should pick somebody, and I think they will pick somebody, right? I'm not quite adjusted to radio world yet, because who should they pick? And I do think I like Jaden Daniels more than Drake May, but I don't like, I'm not going hard with it. Like, if they draft Drake May and they turn in the card for him, I won't be like, this is the worst pick ever. They're doomed to failure. The reminder you give yourself is more of these guys fail than succeed, right? So I like Jaden Daniels. There's a better than 50% chance he's not an all-pro by the time his career ends, right? Those are the numbers. Those are the odds. There's a cottage industry of guys who, you know, make the rounds this time of year, kind of tearing all the picks down. Like, those guys will never make it. Like, they've got a great track record because more guys don't make it than do make it. But you're number 2. You hopefully not going to be number 2 again for a very long time. Otherwise, things went wrong with Adam Peters. Turn in the card. Try to get somebody, because if we're talking about rebuilding a team, rebuilding an organization, rebuilding a roster, if you find that guy at quarterback, it shortcuts the process so much. Obviously, everybody wants to talk about Houston, and I'll actually, you know, break from Houston here in a second, but look what they did. Got a quarterback. Zoom. You know, it's not a 3-year rebuild anymore. It's a 1-year rebuild. That said, my other strong stance here, Al, is I don't think they should start whoever they draft week 1. I think they should give them some time to acclimate.
You do? Why do you feel that way?
I don't trust this offensive line. I don't think this is a playoff caliber team this year. And I think that you want to give them every possible advantage in getting ready for the pros, building up to that. And I think that advantage includes not having to start 17 games this season.
What would be your timeline for starting the rookie quarterback?
And I don't know what the exact number is. I'm not saying it has to be a full Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love 1 full year. I'd be fine bringing him in. We haven't seen the schedule, but at the bye week, at week 7, week 8, whatever it is, right? Give him a 10-game season to go with that. Also, I think we're all assuming here this isn't a Super Bowl team this year, injects juice into your season down the stretch. Gives you a chance to watch him learn it and grow in the final weeks, provides excitement for the fans as well as the coaches to say, hey, we took steps forward as the year went on. Here's our guy. We built the line. We built the infrastructure. We plugged him into it.
How open to trading down in the first round of the 2024 draft should the Commanders be?
Look, all you hear, right, is the Vikings really want in, the Raiders really want in. And the problem is, you know, you got to fall in love with one of the other quarterbacks because you do need a quarterback, right? And so if you fall in love with Penix, this is easy. Trade back, go wild, get to 32 and get Penix with the 5-year, you know, deal at 32. If you like Bo Nix, this is pretty easy to do. Get back to 15, get back to 20, wherever you want to get an offensive lineman and get again. If you like JJ McCarthy, how low can you go? Can you go to 9? Can you go to 10? Or are you risking not getting your guy? And now you're scrambling, trying to convince everybody that you actually do like Michael Penix. The other thing is, if you don't get one of these stars, you really want one of the star left tackles, right? You really want a Joe Alt, you know, Fashanu caliber guy, right? And I think those guys are gone by 10. So if you're getting out of 2, you're either doing two things. You either need to really load up, or you need to figure out a way to get star players as a way of replacing the star players you're not going to end up with because you traded down. I just think it's a little too complicated to pull off. I think they turn in the card at 2.
I'm with you on that. Which of the following statements regarding the Commanders' quarterback decision in the 2024 draft do you believe is true? The team has made its quarterback decision, the team has a strong lean in the quarterback decision, or the team still truly does not know what the quarterback decision will be?
I think we're probably there now. End of the pro days. They'll take the one-on-one meetings in the facility, right? All the guys will come through. They'll get a chance to be one-on-one with the guys in Ashburn. So you never say done until it's done, right? Until those meetings are done. I would say somewhere between strong, lean, and done, though. I think they could turn in the card today if they wanted to. I think they will say open mind until all interviews are conducted, all research is conducted, everything's in. But right, if this is election night, we got enough precincts in here, we can make the call. I think they know who they're going to pick on draft night.
We know, or at least have major reason to believe, that the Commanders' quarterback decision in the 2024 draft is being driven by general manager Adam Peters. That said, who else do you see as truly having significant input on the decision?
Do we sleep on how much influence Josh Harris has on this decision as well, right? He's been in all these meetings. He's been to all the things. And look, I feel the PTSD of your listeners as I say that, right? Like, oh, you're an owner who's involved. That doesn't have to be a bad thing. I think Josh Harris will have a voice in the room. And I think he has been on all these visits. I think he's going to develop an opinion along the way, too. I think Adam Peters is ultimately the guy who will make the decision. But I wouldn't surprise me if Josh Harris is in all these meetings, given his thoughts as well on what he's seen and what he's absorbed, acknowledging that is the last thing in the world any of these fans want to hear. But sometimes that's the way it goes in life. So you've got Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, right? You've got a number of guys who are in the room. Cliff Kingsbury has seen really good quarterbacks, so he knows what one looks like. I also don't want him having more than just a minor say in this, because he's not going to be there if this thing succeeds. I think you want Adam Peters being the main voice, you know, Dan Quinn second, and then Cliff Kingsbury third, kind of on that coaching chart.
The hope, of course, is that what the Commanders do in the 2024 draft will settle their quarterback situation for years to come. But it is amazing how every major quarterback decision by the team over the last 30 years has not led to the team again having a franchise quarterback. You start with the Redskins taking Heath Shuler with the number 3 overall pick in the 1994 draft. From that point forward, every major quarterback decision made by the team has not led to the team again having a franchise quarterback. Now, some decisions have worked out better than others, but not once has a decision led to the team again having a franchise quarterback. At what point over the last 30 years did you feel the best about the team's quarterback situation?
Sure, 2012, Robert, second half of the year, absolutely, as they beat the Cowboys, and that wasn't even Robert's best game, right? That was an Alfred Morris special, beating the Cowboys to make the playoffs. How could you not think, my goodness, we've walked through the wilderness for so long, this is the guy, we're here, he's charismatic, he's great, and obviously the warning light was starting to blink then. You know, the Cleveland and Baltimore games are kind of when the warning light started to blink there, but I was full plowing through them. A third base coach was saying stop, plowing through towards home. this guy, he's electric, right? The Minnesota run, electrifying. Oh, he's so good. He was the guy. I love Kirk Cousins. I never felt that way about Kirk Cousins. I never thought, here is your long-term answer. Never felt that way about Alex Smith, even when they were 6-3 going into that Houston game or the Tampa game, whenever they were 6-3. Never felt that way about Sam Howell. Robert, man, when he was playing, it was just that whole, like, that guy. And look, even if you weren't a Washington fan, you had to watch him every time he played. It was like Michael Vick with the Falcons when he showed up at the league. That guy could do something that you've never seen before on a football field. Anytime he touches the ball, can't take your eyes off him.
Much more with Michael Phillips in moments. But if you enjoy this podcast, check out BGO Blind Pig, the official podcast of BGObsession.com. BGO Blind Pig is a roundtable discussion of all things Washington Commanders football. Lots of good and passionate Commanders conversation from Commanders fans who know the team well. You can find the BGO Blind Pig podcast on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, or on any major podcast provider. Make BGObsession.com the home for your burgundy and gold obsession, and make the BGO Blind Pig podcast one of your weekly DC football listens. We're talking with Commanders insider Michael Phillips regarding everything that has happened with the team since the end of its 2023 season. The firings of head coach Ron Rivera and most of his coaching staff, the hiring of Adam Peters as general manager, the hiring of Lance Newmark as assistant general manager, the hiring of Dan Quinn as head coach, the assembling of Quinn's coaching staff, the team in free agency, re-signing so few of its own free agents and signing a lot of external free agents, all for mostly on the cheap contracts, the team trading quarterback Sam Howell. You look at all of that and more. Is there anything that you don't like? Is there anything that you question? Or are you on board with all that has been done?
I think they probably would want the coaching search over again, honestly, if they had to do it again. I think Josh Harris has a sports background. I think was a little bit caught off guard with how the NFL process worked. And, you know, I don't want to relitigate Ben Johnson, but a lot of people are invested in this alternate reality of they never loved Ben Johnson. That's clearly not true. They were on the plane when he texted. They were very miffed and caught off guard by it. You know, but also Raheem Morris had bounced by then, and it was too late to get McDonald, you know, a guy who they had also liked during the process. So I think they were a little caught off guard by the rolling nature of the process. They would have wanted that back. It's not to say I don't endorse Dan Quinn. I think he'll do fine. I think he'll be a good leader. But I think they would have wanted that back. And similarly, I just personally now, I don't love the Cliff Kingsbury hire. I don't think that was a very good hire by Dan Quinn. The track record is he can't adjust over the course of a season. We'll see. I hope he puts it behind him. I hope he plays well. Those are kind of the two big ones. You talk about the players, though, free agency, who they've brought in. I mean, can we debate whether or not you should have traded Sam Howell? Sure, it doesn't matter, though. He wasn't going to be the guy moving forward. They were going to go with somebody else. And then all these free agent contracts, even if you don't like one of these guys, the contract terms are so good, you got to kind of nod along and agree with all of them. I think they had a very good, productive free agency to lay the groundwork for a lot of things they hope to accomplish down the line.
I do want to do some stadium talk with you. You're always very good on that. Washington, D.C. now keeping Capitals and Wizards home games at Capital One Arena until at least 2050, but also agreeing to pay $515 million to improve Capital One Arena and the surrounding area. Does that take D.C. out of the running to be the site of the Commanders' next stadium, or not necessarily?
No, sir. So, you know, let's get out our calculators. Let's do some math here. Get your pocket protector rolling. The reason that the Capital One thing took so long is D.C. has a limit on how much it can borrow, and it's at the limit at all times. It is the person who has a maxed out credit card at all times. And so D.C. didn't have the money to give Ted Leonsis, and, you know, that's why it took them so long to get to the table. They finally got the money. They're giving the cash over. Ted Leonsis wants cash because he wants to build now with a construction crew. You look at what RFK will be. The city could give Harris and his group $2 billion to make RFK happen today. and it doesn't touch the debt limit because the Harris Group doesn't need money today. They are fine taking their money in the future. They're fine taking it deferred. So if you make an agreement, right, build it RFK, you never pay taxes, all the taxes that get paid come back to you. Those are things that don't inherently affect the city's debt limit, right? If taxes get paid, they cut the check right back to Harris. It's just money the city never saw. They can commit $2 billion over the life of the project, but the Harris Group won't see it until that literal life of the project, right, ends up. Ted Leonsis wasn't playing that game. He needed cash now to get a construction crew over there with shovels and doing that. Josh Harris doesn't need that. You look at the group he's assembled. Whatever money he needs to build RFK, he'll be able to get that money out of his ownership group. And so I think the city can still, I said $2 billion. That wasn't an off-the-cuff number. I think the city could commit $2 billion to this project.
Wow, that's big. So if you had to handicap the most likely spots for the Commanders' next stadium, Washington, D.C. versus Maryland versus Virginia, in what order would you put those three in?
I still put Virginia number two, D.C. number one for what I just mentioned. I think the ownership group wants to be at RFK. I think the city wants them at RFK and can afford it. Can it get through the United States Senate? Well, that's a question I can't answer for you, Al, because it's the most dysfunctional it's ever been, right? You see all the stats. They pass like 3.5 laws a year now. Can it get out of the Senate? I don't know. It might not. They'll try their hardest. You could have full unanimous consent and it doesn't get out of the Senate. That's how business gets conducted there. It's a very dysfunctional governing body. It's not like the Schoolhouse Rock videos at all. But on the other hand, I don't think they want to be in Maryland. I think Maryland's fine. They put up the money. You want to be at FedEx? That's great. I don't think they want to be at FedEx. I think it's a bad site for the stadium. And I think it has fundamental issues if you're talking about, which they keep talking about, mini city, hotels, restaurants, a complex. Nothing against that part of D.C. That's not where you want to build one of those things. You want to build one of those things in Virginia. And notwithstanding whatever happened with Monumental, I think Virginia can come to the table if they need to come to the table. I got Virginia as my number two. Maryland is my number three.
Regarding the complete collapse of the plan for Caps and Wizards home games to move to a new arena in the Potomac Yard area of Alexandria, Virginia, beginning with the team's 2028-2029 seasons, why ultimately did that plan collapse? Like, what is a good, objective, basic explanation for this deal, which was announced this past December 13th with lots of pomp and circumstance from Caps and Wizards owner Ted Leonsis and Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, not happening?
Bunch of Northern Virginia people got together, said, we're going to do this thing, didn't bother running it by the rest of the state, showed up in Richmond, said, here's our plan. And the rest of the state said, since when do you guys call the shots? And it became personal, and it became a battle between Northern Virginia and the rest of the state. And for now, there's still more people and more votes in the rest of the state to overwhelm it. I think, you know, among the many flaws and hubrises here, they didn't hire, my understanding is, they didn't hire a single Richmond-based lobbyist to lobby at the General Assembly. They brought their crew down from Northern Virginia, which that's the major leagues. That's the U.S. Capitol. That's arguably a better crew. But you can understand how that rubbed people the wrong way in Richmond. Like, here's Northern Virginia coming down to play ball, and they don't understand how playing ball works. Obviously, the Luis Lucas thing turned very personal at the end. I don't think Ted Leonsis made a mistake, though. I think Ted Leonsis sat down with the governor of Virginia. The governor of Virginia said, I got this for you, buddy. And Ted Leonsis said, awesome, go make it happen. I don't think he's wrong to trust the governor of Virginia. And Glenn Youngkin had nothing in the record that suggested he couldn't do it. Glenn Youngkin just couldn't get it done in the end. Another Northern Virginia guy who doesn't really understand how the legislature works here, couldn't get the job done. And that was ultimately what caused this to stumble. I think if they had played ball in Richmond more, we'd be talking about a new arena in Alexandria right now.
So the collapse of the plan for Caps and Wizards home games to move to a new arena in Alexandria was more a misplay by Glenn Youngkin than Ted Leonsis. Is that correct?
I think that Leonsis probably needed somebody in his corner to say, hey, I know what this guy's telling you. That's not how it works down there in Richmond. But he had Northern Virginia voices in his ear. And I think there were fundamental misconceptions about how it worked. The day they showed up at Potomac Yards and did their song and dance, if they had voted that day in the Virginia House and the Virginia Senate, it would have passed. They had the votes. That's why they did the song and dance. But, right, we talk about the RFK lane going through the Senate. doesn't matter if you have 51 votes. If somebody can procedurally stop you from voting, it doesn't matter how many votes you have. You could have an infinite number of votes. It never gets voted on. And that's the fear of RFK, right? And that's the reality of what happened at Potomac Yard is this is a political system that does not always just go with the majority vote. There are people in power at higher levels who can shut that down.
Final question. Does the collapse of the plan for Caps and Wizards home games to move to a new arena in Alexandria suggest that Virginia does not have its act together to be the site for the Commanders' next stadium?
It's a fascinating question, right? And you could say this as well. Luis Lucas is obviously the person who killed this thing. I can tell you there are people inside the Democrat Party who aren't thrilled that Luis Lucas killed this thing because they feel it creates that conception that you just measure, that perception. People, oh, Virginia, that used to be a place that's not a place that can get things done anymore. And that Virginia has always prided itself on being very pro-business, you know, landed Amazon, landed all these big things. There are people in the Democratic Party who were unhappy that this thing got killed, not because they liked the project. They didn't like the project. Nobody liked the project, but because they felt like, hey, our pro-business reputation took a big hit here, and that's bad overall. So I think they could get their act together for a Commanders, but you're always right when something happens, you always say, is this an outlier or is this a new trend? I don't know the answer to that, and you hate to find out in something that big.
Absolutely. Commanders insider Michael Phillips of 910, The Fan in Richmond. Michael, great to catch up. All the best.
Absolutely. Same to you, Al.
All right, good stuff from Michael Phillips on the Commanders, and always good stuff on the Commanders via at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. With everything happening with the Commanders, make sure that you're listening to this podcast, and if you're on Instagram, make sure that you're following at WSH on the Daily. WSH on the Daily just started in 2021 and yet has nearly 27,000 followers. The page is growing at a rapid rate, and the page is what its title suggests, daily. The page is updated every day, news, notes, reports, photos, graphics. WSH on the Daily is a page that properly sources and vets its news and information and doesn't just post anything that anyone says. WSH on the Daily responds to every single DM. WSH on the Daily is a page at which you can have fun. And WSH on the Daily always has a great fresh look. If you are on Instagram, check out at WSH on the Daily and check out at WSH on the Daily's online shop, WSHonthedaily.com. Some outstanding gear, shirts, hoodies, excellent material, modern looks. So for smart, informative, fun, and engaging Commanders content, check out at WSH on the Daily on Instagram. And for great merch, visit WSHonthedaily.com. Well, we have our first winning streak for the Nationals in the 2024 MLB regular season. They late night on Monday night began a 9-game trip out west with game one of a 3-game series at the San Francisco Giants. And the result of the game was an 8-1 win, improving the Nats to 4-6 and giving the boys a 2-game winning streak.
I'm proud of the boys.
That's right, Nats manager Davey Martinez, proud of the boys. So the boys' late night on Monday night hit. The Giants' starting pitcher was Blake Snell, who made his Giants' regular season debut off them agreeing with him on a contract as a free agent on March 19th. Blake Snell was one of multiple high-level MLB free agents who lingered on the open market deep into spring training season, and Blake Snell, late night on Monday night, did not do well. Three runs in three innings, during which he threw 72 pitches, just 39 strikes versus 33 balls. So the Nats in this game scored 8 runs, totaled 10 hits, worked a whopping 7 walks, went 4 for 14 with runners in scoring position, and went 4 for 4 on stolen bases. So the Nats scored 3 runs in the top of the second, 3 runs in the top of the fifth, and 2 runs in the top of the ninth. And the Nats did all of this despite being without C.J. Abrams for a third consecutive game due to a left pinky bone bruise that he suffered in a slide into second base in the Nats' 4-0 loss to the Philadelphia Phillies at Nationals Park this past Friday evening. Three Nats position players late night on Monday night stood out in particular. Lane Thomas, Trey Lipscomb, and Ildemaro Vargas. Lane Thomas, he late night on Monday night was very good for a third consecutive game off a really bad start to this regular season. Thomas, as the Nats starting right fielder and number three batter, went 3-for-5 with a two-run homer, an RBI single, and another single. Thomas, in the top of the first, had a two-out single to left field. Thomas, in the Nats' three-run fifth, had a one-out, two-run home run to left field for a 5-1 Nats lead. The homer went a projected 402 feet per Statcast. And Thomas, in the Nats' two-run ninth, had an RBI single through the left side of the infield for a 7-1 Nats lead, despite having been down in the count at 1.02. Also slumping had been Trey Lipscomb, but he late night on Monday night was very good. Lipscomb, as an Nats starting third baseman and number eight batter, went 3-for-5 with an RBI single and two other singles, and he went 3-for-3 on stolen bases. Lipscomb, in the Nats' three-run second, had a one-out RBI single to left field to tie the game at one, and he had a steal of second base, and he had a steal of home for a 3-1 Nats lead. This was an odd play. He and Luis Garcia Jr. pulled off a double steal that happened off Garcia getting caught in a rundown between first base and second base, but the slide by Lipscomb into home plate was great. He slid under slash around the attempted tag of Giants catcher Patrick Bailey. Lipscomb, in the top of the fourth, had a two-out single to left center field, and he had a steal of second base, and that steal prompted a throwing error by Giants catcher Patrick Bailey, and Lipscomb, in the top of the eighth, had a one-out single up the middle on a 1-2 pitch. And Ildemaro Vargas, he late night on Monday night as an Nats starting shortstop and number seven batter, went 1-for-2 with an RBI double, an RBI walk, and two other walks. So Vargas in the Nats' three-run second drew a one-out walk. Vargas in the Nats' three-run fifth had a two-out RBI double to deep right field for a 6-1 Nats lead. Vargas in the top of the eighth drew a one-out walk, but he was thrown out in his attempt to advance from first to third on Trey Lipscomb's one-out single up the middle. And Vargas in the Nats' a two-run ninth drew a two-out bases-loaded walk for an 8-1 Nats lead. This was Davey Martinez during his post-game session with reporters early Tuesday morning on the Nats' great offense late night on Monday night.
Yeah, we've been talking about him, you know, and I sat with him yesterday for a little while and just talked about, you know, just get the ball in the zone, take your walks, you know, and extend some innings. We did a great job today. I mean, we came in, we had a plan, and we wanted to get the ball in the strike zone. You know, I think we ended up with 7 or 8 walks, but we did that, and it was a good day. I mean, the offense was really good today.
What's the difficulty of facing Snell and what are the challenges that he presents in terms of trying to lay out those pitches and trying not to chase so much?
He didn't want to Cy Young for no reason, right? I mean, he's got some really good pitches. You know, you just have to get the ball in the zone. His breaking ball, his changeup, and even his fastball, they're all electric pitches. So our focus was to just, hey, make him throw strikes, you know, work deep counts, and accept your walks. You know, don't chase. And I thought we did a good job.
Are you seeing a lot different from Lane the last couple of days, or are you just seeing balls finally falling in that he was having some bad luck earlier?
Yeah, he's getting himself ready a little earlier at the plate, which is great. You know, he's not a guy that Tom, hey, when you hit the ball at right field, it's because you're ready, you're on time, and the ball's out over the plate. So, but he's done really well. He's playing good baseball. He's running bases well. He's doing everything right. So, you know, today he gets that first one out of the way, which is nice. Helped us win a big game.
I mentioned Blake Snell struggling. The Nats starting pitcher late night on Monday night was Trevor Williams, and he outpitched Blake Snell. Williams allowed one run in 5 innings. He gave up 3 hits, which were 2 doubles and a single. He did issue 3 walks. He did record just 2 strikeouts, and he over 81 pitches through just 49 strikes versus 32 balls. But The run prevention was there, and this was off what he did in his first start of this regular season. Williams in the Nats' 5-3 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates at Nationals Park last Wednesday evening allowed two runs in 5 1/3 innings. So far, so good for Trevor Williams, who, yes, ended up being really bad last regular season, but who also got off to a nice start last regular season. Trevor Williams, over his first 11 starts in the 2023 regular season, had an ERA of 3.93. Now, he then was really bad in June, July, August, and September, and he, for the 2023 regular season, wound up with an ERA of 5.55 and a whip of 1.6, which would have been the worst whip among qualified pitchers in the majors, but his lack of innings meant that he was not a qualified pitcher. But he did get off to a good start last regular season, and he has been pretty good over his first two starts in this regular season. So Trevor Williams in the Nats 8-1 win at the Giants late night on Monday night was good, and so was the Nats bullpen. Three Nats relievers combined for four scoreless innings. Derek Law tossed two scoreless innings with three strikeouts. He tossed a scoreless bottom of the sixth despite giving up a leadoff double by the Terrapin, Maryland product, Lamont Wade Jr. to center field to conclude a 10-pitch plate appearance in which Wade was down at 1.12, and that Law tossed a scoreless bottom of the seventh. Dylan Floro tossed a perfect bottom of the eighth, and Matt Barnes, who went to UConn, tossed a scoreless bottom of the ninth on the night on which UConn won the NCAA tournament in men's basketball for a second consecutive season. An appropriate ending to this game, an easy, breezy, dominant win for the Nats. Game two for the Nats at the Giants Tuesday night at 9:45. Josiah Gray will be the Nats starting pitcher. And that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can hit me up on X at Al Galdi. You can email me the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Wednesday show episode 802 will include a lot for you on the Commanders. Also on Wednesday show, I'll talk Capitals, Nationals, Orioles, and Wizards. The Caps have a big game on Tuesday night at the Detroit Red Wings Tuesday night at 7. The Caps are 1 point behind the Red Wings for the Eastern Conference's second and final wildcard spot. The Nats on Tuesday night at 9:45 of Game 2 of their three-game series at the San Francisco Giants. The O's on Tuesday afternoon at 2:10 have Game 1 of a three-game series at the Boston Red Sox. And the Wizards are at the Minnesota Timberwolves a Tuesday night at 8. The Timberwolves are tied with the Denver Nuggets for the best record in the Western Conference. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Growth and development.